Hello, and welcome to Dwell on Truth. I am Brenton Powers, your host. For the Friday edition of my show, I want to share highlights from when I was a guest on Flight 1080.
All right, let's get out to our guests here. Now, we are very happy to have Daniel Bodwin and Brenton Powers. Now, thank you guys for joining us. So we're going to be talking about some stuff that we have here. You sent me some bullet points, and I think they are great topics. I think our audience will love hearing about these topics and discussing them. The first one is the problem of sin, suffering, and death, and the fear of death. So let's open up with that one.
I want to share one scripture I think that can help in this situation. Okay. In any understanding of how do we view the world and why is there suffering, sin, death, destruction, and, you know, fears that people are afraid of dying. In one sense, we wouldn't have it unless God allowed it and God actually created this scenario where death would come into the world. He created the possibility for Adam and Eve to sin, and he said, when you sin, death will come into the world. So ultimately, it didn't just start with one man eating a bat in Wuhan, China. It was one man eating a forbidden fruit as an act of rebellion against God, the creator of life, and God issuing the consequences for that sin, which is death. And we're all subject to sin and death. And so there's a bondage we're in to sin and death. So that's the bad news. That's point one. We wanted to talk about that problem. But the good news that we as Christians come to bring is that the same God who has cursed us with death, the dying process, is the same God that will rescue us from death and give us eternal life if we repent of our rebellion against him and believe in the remedy that he's provided. And we can share about that, what that remedy is. But God has already saved me and given me eternal life. So I don't have anything to fear. If I die, I'm going to heaven. And that gives me great hope. Now, I know that many people who die without Christ, they're not going there. So I want to share that hope with them. Before they die, they have a chance to receive eternal life. And that's greater than any suffering of this present age. Yeah, I'm going to die, but I'm going to live forever. The scripture I wanted to read in Romans 8, verse 20, it says, for the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. There's a lot packed in there.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What that means is this world is a fallen world, cursed world, and God had subjected it to this curse in the hope that we would turn back him and be reconciled to our Heavenly Father, become his children again, and have peace with him. And one day, this fallen world will be restored to be better than it was in the beginning, without sin, suffering, death, or any kind of separation between us and God. There was a man who was born blind in John chapter 9, and they asked him, Rabbi, who sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents? Obviously, if he was born blind, he didn't sin before he was born. God could see into his life and punish him with blindness because of what he would potentially do. But no, that's not it either. Jesus said neither. It wasn't because of this man's sin or his parents, but he allowed this for the glory of God. That's in John 9. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him, because he was planning to heal him. Part of the drama of the story of the Bible, there is an enemy and there is a real threat and there is real problems. But the solution that God provides in the end and what he provided when he was here temporarily was a victory over sin and sickness and blindness and deafness. And, you know, he loves people and he chooses to use even evil to work for good. He can display his glory in a greater way in the darkness than in the light. It's like a candle, you know, it shines brightly, or a diamond that you have on a black felt. You see how glorious something is because of the blackness and the darkness of the background.
I get it.
And that's what's happening. Something exciting might happen. My sister is watching me on Facebook Live. I'm streaming it at facebook.com/Brenton Powers.
All right.
And she's asking, should I call in? And I said, yeah, it would be great to talk with you. She's an atheist, similar to our last caller, but I think it would be an enlightening call for you to meet my sister, who's the lead singer of a rock band called Monster on Sunday, which is an atheist rock band.
Is she in Arizona, Brenton?
Yes, she is.
Okay, well, I suspect...
I would love to hear from her.
I suspect that that's on... who's on line three, so... Tally in Arizona. You're in the air, Tally.
Well, hello there.
Hello, Tally.
Hi, Tally.
We're here with Brenton Powers and Daniel Bodwin. I understand that you have a question for Brenton or a comment. Yeah, you can make a point, whatever you want to say. It's up to you.
Okay. Brenton did a good little prelude there of that I play in an atheist band, and we have a funny history. Brenton and I played music together when we were young, and then we did it like a split. I think when he was around 18 years old or something, he joined a band called Yoke Fellow, which was a Christian rock band instead of my band, which I was very upset, but he did that. I went my own way. And through the years, we had probably 20 years, maybe 25, I don't know, Brenton, what is it now, 30 years
25.
Of discussions on this stuff. And it's just, it's heart-wrenching, honestly. I've struggled with it a lot through the years. So our whole family is pretty much religious, and Brenton is one of them, probably one of the most, I would say. And I never got it. For me, the religion thing just, it doesn't work. Nothing adds up. Scientifically, there's nothing that proves any of it either. So I just feel very upset. I felt like for a lot of years that like I lost my brother, like he was lost to this thing, if you will. And I've had some heart-wrenching times of just regarding us and our conversations and feeling like, why can't I just make him wake up to reality and science and logic and reason and all these things? I just can't. And I've done a very poor job because I think because I'm emotionally involved, he's my brother, I've done botched jobs. You know, where you're having those arguments where you say things you shouldn't have said.
Right.
And, you know, so that's happened. Probably a lot.
When you say it's
just been really rough.
It's been heart-wrenching. Do you feel like religion has kind of driven a wedge between you and the family?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, religion hasn't done that. I think it's a combo of my lack of belief and religion with the family that has made this dichotomy or this friction, this mess.
Do you feel sorry for people who are religious, like Brenton is? But let's just say, let's not talk about him specifically. Do you feel pity? Do you feel like heartache for people who are religious?
Heartache is a very good way to put it. Yes, I do. I've cried sometimes. I've had two times, I think, in the last 20 years where I cried for like a week, and I was like a bed crying. Like, I've lost my brother. Like, he can't mentally get out of his chains. I feel like religion, in a way, is like chains.
I'm here with my co-host, Jack Stein. I think he has a question or a comment.
Tally, you know, I really appreciate your openness, and I really appreciate how candid you are and how vulnerable you're being. I think that shows a lot of courage, and I really appreciate that. And my question would be to you is that I have a lot of religious people in my life. My mom is a very religious woman. And what I found is that only takes up, I would say, about 30% of my time with her, and the other 70% of the time, she's just my mom, and she just happens to be a very devout Christian woman. And I don't have the same level of, I don't want to use the word disdain, but kind of confusion around it. I just kind of accept it as part of my mom's belief structure, and it makes her very happy, and she's very pleased with it. I wonder why, I'm just curious why, if you're okay answering it, why you have such a hard time with it. When Brenton is still your brother, I've met Brenton dozens of times. Brenton's one of the sweetest men I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any difference to me whether or not he's a Christian or he could be a green man from Mars. He's still very sweet Brenton Powers, who I like very much. So I'm curious, what makes it any different that he's religious or a green man from Mars, if that makes sense?
Yes, thank you for that question. That's a really good question. That's a very difficult question, by
the
way.
Yeah, it's very hard, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very tough rated question there. So,
can I say something?
First of all, let me start by saying right off the bat, Brenton is everything that you said he is. He's one of the best human beings that I know of on this earth. I love him to death, and that's that. So you're so right. Like, he's just kindness in his heart. He's just such a good person. I love him so much. And I think the problem for me has been through these years that we used to be really close. We used to have such a close brother-sister relationship. We like really enjoyed music together. He helped me create my first album that I made. Like, we had, you know, brother-sister. I thought we were like really close and things. And then when it happened, when he switched over, I don't know what to call it, but he just ousted. he just went for the religion thing, just boom. And I think when that happened, I felt like, what about what we were doing? Or I don't know. I think it was just really hard for me to like digest that
yeah.
he was sort of gone, if you will, from my life. And that was it. He bought my PA system off of me, and he traveled and did the church concert thing with his band and did all this. And, you know, I mean, I guess in a sense I supported that because I provided him the equipment and things. But the loss of my brother is what happened to me.
Is it a loss, though, really? Because, like, my mom didn't become very religious until her mother died, right? And you don't really lose somebody, at least in my experience, you don't really lose somebody.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? They're still the same human being. The difference, I'll give you a little bit of a story.
There's a big change, though.
Well,
there's a big change that happens, that there is an element of loss that you have to, like, suffer through the loss. Almost like a death, but not a death. But, like, this certain way that you used to relate or that you used to have a relationship with somebody is over and gone, and they are now replaced with this person who's preaching to you a lot, you know. I'm sorry, but, you know, he does things like guilt trip you for things, and, like, you know, the whole God thing makes you have a lot of weird complexes that make you not be the same. It really changes you. It changes you in ways I think is not good. And it's been tough. That's all.
Brenton, I think you should respond. We only have a few minutes here, but real quickly, Jack, I would say, I don't know if it's exactly like this, but let's just say that me and my friend like to go out and smoke pot, right? And that's what we have that bonds us. Now my friend says, hey, I don't want to smoke that stuff anymore. I'm going to go straight, and you should too. Well, that connection has been gone. He's still the same human being, but he's really not. He's been changed, and now that connection that we bonded on, our bond has been broken. And in this case, the family bond or the brother and sister bond seems to have been, I don't want to say broken, but certainly changed because of religion. Brenton?
Definitely changed, yes.
Yeah, and my life has changed, and no one knows that better than my sister. But I would say that it has changed me for the better. You know, before I became a Christian, that's what you call it, conversion. Mm-hmm. I trusted in Jesus to save me and forgive me of my sins and give me a new life. I was a teenager that was totally self-absorbed, trying to get whatever I wanted for my own pleasure. Yeah, Tali took me to parties. I drank. I smoked marijuana. There was nothing to discourage me from going after girls. And I tried all of that, Tali, and it wasn't satisfying. Ultimately, I realized that God had a better plan for me. And that was to be married to one woman for life, and I enjoy that relationship. It was to be surrendered to the God who made me and use the musical talent that he gave me to show that there's something more important than just me. And so that's why I delight to sing about God. I'm happy to share about him with others because I want them to know the same joy. I want you to know the same joy that I have.
I want to thank you for listening to Dwell on Truth. That concludes our latest radio show from Flight 1080, where I'm a guest monthly. For the next 2 weeks, I'm going to focus on equipping Christians for evangelism. So tune in again as we continue to dwell on truth. For more info, go to dwellontruth.org.